Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Well, hello there.
What's going on?
Hello.
Not much.
I need 5 minutes to bitch, man. I need 5 minutes to bitch. I'm having a terrible day, and I just want to tell you all what topped it, okay? I won't get into details about what went on during the day, but tonight I'm coming back from karate. I'm cruising down 195 East, heading home. And I was on Route 6 at this time, and I'm getting ready to get on to 195 East, and I take the ramp, come down, and at the bottom of the ramp, there's a fucking Sadie, and he's got somebody pulled over. Now, normally, because the state of Massachusetts is so friggin' whacked out, we had a couple of Sadies that were killed because people just got too close. So they made this lovely little law that says, if you see blue lights and they got somebody pulled over, you have to merge into the middle or the high-speed lane. You cannot be in the lane next
same
to...
Lane. We have the same thing.
I'm coming down the ramp, okay, and he's right there at the bottom. He's got this motherfucker pulled over right there at the bottom. And I don't even have, like, enough time to merge nowhere because we've got a shitload of traffic that is merging into the middle lane. Why? Because he's there. Well, I guess he was done doing his business because not even 30 seconds. The lights are on, and he's weaving in and out of traffic to come for me. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, right? So he pulls me over, and, like, I got out my registration, my insurance, my license. I was sitting there ready. And he's like, do you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, I haven't a clue. And he goes, because. He's like, you could have killed me. And I'm like, what? He's like, you see these cars passing us right now? You see how close they are? And I'm like, You're really going to show me, you know, the point you're trying to get across here. And he's like, these cars passing us right now could hit me at any given moment of time. They're supposed to be in the middle lane. And
aren't you supposed to talk to me from the passenger side?
Say that again?
Aren't you supposed to talk to me from the passenger side?
Yeah, I didn't say anything because at this time I was already getting, like, really enraged. And I said to him, I'm like, you realize I was coming down the ramp. And I'm like, and you were at the bottom of it. I said, I thought, you know, you're supposed to be so many feet ahead of the ramp when you're pulling people over. I said, I didn't even have time to get into the middle lane because all the traffic was merged there. I said, so what I did out of a courtesy was slowed it down to like 40 miles per hour. And he looked at me really cocky. And I won't tell you what I was wearing. Okay. He looks at me really cocky, and he's like, next time, you belong in the middle lane. I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you. And, yeah, it got shitty when I mentioned the fact that I don't believe that they can pull somebody over directly at the bottom of a ramp. You know, you got to let the person go a little bit down the road and then pull them over. And, you know, realistically, I could not go in the middle lane, and this jackass is going to show me show and tell about what to do with the cars going by. I'm like, oh.
When they pull me over, I pull off on the off-ramp, and 9 times out of 10, they go, why did you do that? And I go, my safety as well as yours. Okay.
Yeah.
If you check out clean,
yeah.
You'll be on your way.
But, you know, after that, I was like, I'm going home, locking myself in my room, and I'm not letting nobody bother me for the rest of this day because it could get dangerous after that. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Especially the way he, like, flew in and out of traffic just to pull little old me over, you know? So it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm done bitching.
That last time that I did that, I just came back from Vegas, and thing I keep my registration, it's like a little billfold. Open it up, and it's got two sides. You can see my registration, you can see my insurance, and then I have to take out my license.
Yeah.
So I took it out of my pocket, and I handed it to her, and she opened up, and there had to be about 20 or 30 stickers. Las Vegas, Purdue, SFV, Dago, New York, Boston, all kinds of stickers in there. And she kind of took another look at me, and she said, "Oh, well, if you come up clean, I'm going to let you go."
Well, this guy was young, and he was cocky. And I knew that if I didn't keep my temper in check, it was going to go bad. It really was. Because it's like, I get the whole, you know, they got to enforce the law, whatever. But I don't get the whole, I'm bigger and badder than everybody else. You know, you're my fucking equal, man. Just because you're in a uniform, no, sorry, I'm better than you. Let me correct that. But, you know, I don't like, you know, he was being a bully is what he was doing. And that's putting it really, you know, you're going to harass a woman and my son who's in the back seat in his karate uniform to just tell them to move to the middle lane. I don't get that. I just don't. That's just bullshit is what that is.
Yeah. Well, let's see what's going on here. We got a caller from New York. Oh, gone. Popped in, popped out. We had somebody calling.
Hello.
I think it was, yeah, no, we had somebody calling. I think it was from the Bronx. They were listening, and then I was going to bring them in. And then, they disappeared. As well as you guys just did.
We disappeared from where?
Oh, well, whoever it was, they just knocked me off the air.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So you're not?
No.
Are you brought?
We're here. We're good.
All right.
Yeah, we're good. I just have to bring something back, but we're okay. Yeah, we're okay. We do this.
All right.
Close that. Yeah, we're good. Everything's here. But, yeah, you got that thing I sent you?
I got both the emails, yeah. One of them's very lengthy, one of them's very short.
Well, no, the one I was going to talk about was, you know, it's about America. And there's a $2 trillion underground economy. So 11 million people are working outside of the system. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. It's America's unemployment statistics are slightly misleading. They don't include workers who have sought alternative sources of income in the underground economy. This economy has grown significantly given the sluggish recovery of the U.S. unemployment situation. So basically, you know, everybody's doing what they need to do to get ahead. You know, in the past, underground jobs included servants, caregivers, babysitters, umpires, construction workers. Nowadays, temporary workers in different industries, freelance workers, contractors might not report their income to the IRS. Also, workers in the hotel, restaurant, and entertainment industries, as well as in the small-sized firms, often get paid in cash, which is not recorded. There are people who report only a portion of their cash income to the IRS, which includes the small business owners, you know, like hairdressers, bar, and restaurant owners. I mean, I can't avoid paying my taxes. How about you?
I have like split thoughts when it comes to that. I don't know. It's like, I understand why people do it. I do. I understand. Does it make it wrong? I guess it does. But on another hand, I guess it doesn't. That's what I mean. I'm like torn on this subject badly.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of methods. you know, a lot of people are using the indirect method. Assessment is on the difference between national expenditure and income statistics. If people spend more than they earn, the difference must come from somewhere, maybe the shadow economy. A more widely used approach is the currency demand approach. Under this method, the analyst assumes transactions are made in cash, increasing the demand for notes and coins overall, which can be tracked. But every method has its drawbacks. You can't estimate the true size of an underground economy. You know? Like every 5 years, the IRS undertakes a tax gap study, with the last one conducted in 2012. However, the study compared the data from 2001, 2006. In 2001, the IRS estimated that $285 billion was underreported. And in 2006, the number had grown to $376 billion. Like they have a piece of that.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know, they examined, a study was done, and they examined the tax gap and for three different periods ending in 2008, finding that between 18% and 19% of income was not reported to the IRS. You know, the untaxed income at 19% amounts to $2.6 trillion, a hefty sum. And your downside to not paying taxes is there's a catch to not reporting one's earnings and thus not paying taxes. You forfeit your contribution. If you don't do it, you forfeit your contributions to Social Security. Now, a lot of people don't know that. You can't get any health care and paid vacation or other benefits. People also run into problems when they try to obtain a credit card, borrow money to purchase a home, or face other circumstances requiring verification of income. You know, it's like everybody's, like Japan, their economic growth is just dragging on. Everybody's just.
Hey, can you tell me something? Can you hear the June bugs in the background? They're wicked loud tonight. I'm sitting out on the porch, and they're just, like, creaking really loud, and I'm wondering if that's coming through.
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's outside the system. You know, like, a nice thing yesterday that set a precedent was when that federal judge ruled that Bloomberg's stop and frisk was unconstitutional. If that set a precedent for the whole United States, so if that goes, well, it's like I say, what happens on the East Coast is going to happen on the West Coast. You saw that, right?
Who are you talking to? Me?
Oh, yeah. You saw that, right?
Okay.
Stop it. Huh?
Go ahead.
I said, did you see that?
On where?
In the news about the stop and frisk in New York.
No.
Yeah, they made it, the federal judge made it unconstitutional. Violated the Fourth Amendment. He stated, here, I'm putting it in the chat room, the link location. But he stated that it's a 192 page opinion. So what I'm going to do is get it in. But U.S. District Court Scheinlin today, this guy happens to be married to Judge Judy.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
This guy's married to Judge Judy. Today invalidated Mayor Bloomberg's stop and frisk policy as a violation of the U.S. Constitution's Fourth Amendment. He stated that the goals of liberty and safety may be in tension, but they can coexist. Indeed, the Constitution mandates that. I emphasize at the outset that this case is not about the effectiveness of stop and frisk in deterring or committing crime. This court's mandate is solely to judge the constitutionality of police behavior, not its effectiveness as a law enforcement tool. So under this policy, police could randomly stop anyone on the street and ask them what they were doing, and you could even physically frisk them. The picture of a person having to stop what they're doing, put their hands in the wall, and spread their legs and remain motionless to someone with a badge and a gun pats them all over their body, copping a feel. There's always something to look carefully in a free society. Bloomberg instituted this policy in 2004. According to the Clinton-appointed judge's opinion, in that year, there were 314,000 random stops. How many do you think it was by 2012?
Probably double that.
Almost 2.5 times. 686,000 per year. A total of 4.4 million times during this time period, a person was stopped and subjected to this kind of embarrassing examination, even when police could give no explanation beyond having a hunch. The Fourth Amendment provides, in part, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures should not be validated or violated. There is no question that these encounters trigger pluses such as any reasonable person who understands that they are not free to ignore the police and brush past them. Supreme Court precedent is equally clear that the Fourth Amendment only allows such a stop if an officer has reasonable, articulable suspicion that a person has been or is about to be engaged in criminal activity. The Supreme Court also specifically held that the suspicion cannot be unparticularized, suspicion or a hunch. Thus, the judge in Floyd v. City of New York held Bloomberg's policy is unconstitutional. The city is expected to appeal. Yep.
People are just throwing their rights away.
Yeah, they are. You bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
You know how many times I've said that since you say that? Oh, my God, I say that so often. And I get
yeah.
a look.
Why? Why do you get a look?
Because it's usually, you know, me and the hens, we're chilling, and, you know, someone will say something, and I'll come out with that. And they just look at me. It's a girl thing, forget it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Nora.
Yes.
What's this? Chicago O'Hare Airport turns the herd of, to a herd of goats and llamas to clear the airfield. Huh? Is that true?
Like it's like farming at the airport. Have you heard anything so ridiculous?
Yeah, sucking a llama. Yes.
Yeah, oh my God.
I'm reading it. I'm looking at it. You got llamas and goats.
I know. Only here.
Llamas
only
there,
at
huh?
the international airport.
Llamas are those things you ride up the Peru mountains on, right? That's what a llama is, right?
No, yeah, now they get there by plane. You know, they have a thing with smartphones and all your other phones that has a GPS tracking.
Yeah.
You have to go into your settings. Because your photos become known to everyone where you're at, what room you are in when you take a photo, and if you're at a park, it locates what park you were at. It's crazy. So when you go into your settings, go into where it's either your location or your GPS, whatever, do not have that box checked where it states...
The only time I check that box is if I want people to know where I'm at. Like, when I'm at the gym, I don't want to be disturbed, so I post it. You know, but then I go right back in and check it off, you know?
Right. Well, like I said, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that. So pedophiles are able to track children. Hackers are able to get into your shit. It's crazy.
Where'd you get that from?
Where did I get that from? It's on my wall.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's serious. I sat there and I watched a video on it, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Actually, Southbound. Southbound had it, huh?
That's what I was asking. Where did you put the link
in
the chat?
Yeah, I got from, I didn't share it with Southbound. Actually, what I did was I went and saw it first. You know,
I
want to
play it.
The thing. That's fine.
Yeah, I want I want to play it, so send me the link.
Oh, okay. Wait, I got to get to the laptop. Because I was in the garage. Because it was baby feeding time.
What was the name of the article?
Give me a minute. I'll give it 10 a second. I got to unplug and pull it out with me. So this way you can get it. Like I said, I just found it unbelievable.
I remember posting something about that, but I can't remember what the title was.
That's okay. Give me one second. I just have to.
You know, the other thing that's going on too is all kinds of businesses are cutting the hours on their employees, so they don't have to pay coverage for health insurance.
Oh, I know. Because I think that what takes effect at October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, see, like here, the governor here had signed a bill that everyone is eligible for the Medicaid, Medicare, you know, the state insurance. And he's roughly estimating like 357 million people that will get on it because they have no insurance. I'll send this to you in a private message so you can.
Tell me the name of that article.
Okay, wait a minute. Warning, if you take photos with your cell phone.
Hold on. So go ahead, talk a little bit more about it till I bring it up.
Okay, I just sent you a message. Anyways, yeah, what people don't understand is like when you get your phones, of course they have everything checked in your settings, you know, especially for your GPS location, so that way it's easier for you to be tracked. Most people are not aware that they have to uncheck that box. So whatever they're doing when it pertains to photos, people have no idea that it puts out all your information, your location. It puts out maps where you're at, if you're in your home, where you're at in your home, if you're in a restaurant, what restaurant you're at. It's crazy. Because it was an Eyewitness News team, they actually approached one woman because her children or something, they were posting photos, you know, and he wanted to talk to her. She wouldn't talk to him, you know, because he wanted to inform her, look, people know where your children are at. They know your
life. All right, here we go. Here we go.
If you've got a smartphone and even once posted an online picture, you need to know about a new threat.
This is something. New technology can allow hackers to track down you and your kids even from a simple email. Russ.
Mark and Elizabeth, the technology allows strangers to cherry pick from online pictures posted all over the web and then find the home, work, or even school of that person in the pic.
Perfect. Just like that. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Good girl.
We gave NBC Action News staffer Suzanne McDonald and daughter Lainey a smartphone.
And a big smile towards mommy's face. Yeah.
To see just how threatening a seemingly innocent snapshot.
Beautiful.
Could be once loaded online.
That's frightening.
We then combed Twitter and sites like Facebook, Craigslist, and PhotoBucket searching for locals. We found a menu of nearby children and, with the click of a mouse, their locations.
That is legitimately terrifying.
It's a new and frightening threat to parents.
So we right-click, then we hit that data file. That's the program.
And the full threat is even an unknown to many internet crime experts.
Have you ever seen it go this far before?
No.
Officer Mark Chuddy calls the hidden threat today's biggest risk online.
It's probably going to be number one for a while.
terrifying.
We found not only Lainey's home, but located her daycare, favorite fast food shop, and right down to the specific part of the park where she plays.
Especially as a parent, because the fact that you can see the exact place of it.
At UMKC, computer science professor Deep Medi says smartphones leave a high-tech invisible trail using the same geo-tracking technology that enables the social network Foursquare and handheld map apps.
Exactly like in your GPS device in a car, the way you do it, it can tell you exactly where it is.
Medi shows how free, easily obtained browser add-ons can translate that data into maps.
Well, exactly that spot where the picture was taken.
The site iCanStalkYou.com reposts pics from unwitting Twitter users in real time, translating their photos into actual addresses and maps. The site also has a how-to on deactivating geotagging on the iPhone, BlackBerry, Google Android, and Palm.
You want to be able to do almost on a picture basis.
With this online bedroom pic, we were able to find the home of these Olathe brothers.
Hi, I'm Rose Potosik. I'm with NBC Action News.
Their startled mom didn't want to talk on camera.
No, thank you.
Off camera, we warned her, and she changed their online settings to private. Until then, the location of her kids' bedroom, their hangout, and their school were all available to anyone online.
Basically, what you're doing is you're telling the bad guy where I live, where I recreate my likes and my dislikes, my mom or dad look like, where I live. I mean, the online mapping is phenomenal.
Give me a smile.
Experts say you can still be perfectly safe just by turning off GPS setting on pics you plan to post online.
Perfect.
So before you post another picture online, what you want to do is get into your phone and you want to get into your settings. So you'll go into your settings and you'll get to where that GPS is controlled, which is your location services. You can turn all of your location settings off, but that would also affect your maps and everything else. So you could specifically go right to what controls your camera and turn that off. Once you do that, every picture that you take then will be safe. No one can tell where that photo was taken and where you were.
That is so alarming.
I've
really
right
upsetting.
Up to the
really, the more technology is great, the more we seem to expose ourselves to so many things. So, very good story.
An easy fix. An easy fix. Oh, we have more information online.
Can we leave it and do it right now?
I know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Appreciate it.
That's wow. Crazy.
Yep. Wow.
And how many people aren't aware of it?
Hey, I'm looking through my phone right now.
Always something.
Huh?
I said it's always something. It's never going to end.
No.
I know.
No, you got guys sitting there just trying to figure this shit out. Wow. I'm still looking for shit. Holy Christ.
That's amazing. Because as soon as I saw that, I jumped right up on mine. Just to make sure.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know how many people you would say that to, and they're like, oh, I don't care. Really? Well, they care if some idiot came knocking up on their door or stalking their kids or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, the kid disappears.
Yeah. And how many kids today have cell phones? We didn't have that shit when we were younger. They weren't even around.
Mhm. Wow. Wow.
Now you got something new to tell your friends.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm like kind of stunned right now. Go ahead, Pete. You got a question? What's the question?
Hello?
send him a message. But yeah, it's like, so let's get back to this thing now. So they got goats and llamas running around the earth, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
So what are they going to do to get them out?
I know. They're calling it Welcome to Project Herd.
What?
Yeah. The head of the Chicago Department of Aviation announcing a new effort to group of journalists who took a look at the project Tuesday. Behind her, the goats and their furry friends were munching their way through a steep embankment overgrown with tall grass and cattails on the far northeastern corner of the 8,000 acre airport. Two bushy llamas bounded up to the top, chased by one of the herders charged with looking after the animals. So basically, now they got, and they got sheep there too.
Yeah.
The reporters were given the opportunity to see a lamb have one of the sheep have a baby lamb. Now, and then they named it O'Hare. He's doing great. He's doing great. He's sucking on mom. Said Pinky, who donated some of the animals from a rescue shelter in Beecher, Illinois. And she helps manage him on the planes flying overhead. He didn't flinch. Mom didn't move. Everybody's content. The main goal is to rid the airport grounds of habitat for birds and other wildlife that could present serious hazards to departing or landing aircraft. Many of those areas are beyond the reach of the traditional mowing equipment, which can't handle the steep embankments of the rocky and loose soil.
Yeah, so now they're using the animals, because the animals feed off the ground.
Yeah, so we got, now they're talking about rabbits and deer, and then to scare away the coyotes, they have the no-nonsense llamas, and now they got burros out there. Wild burros,
yeah.
Chased and sent to death.
So we're becoming an animal kingdom.
So?
You get a view coming through the international airport.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's
yeah, because they had it on the news, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, they 20,000 for 2 years.
Yeah.
20,000 for 2 years. And actually, the goat herd that they're using, they produce cheese for one of Chicago's restaurants, the Butcher and the Burger. Let's see. It says it'll lower the landscape material and cost for things for fuel, labor. And it took away the alternative to use toxic herbicides.
Right.
These preachers are going to be roaming around the airport.
Yeah.
Runway. No, but airline passengers need not fear high-speed collision with a foraging critter. The herd will be kept far from active areas of the airfield or behind fences.
Yeah, see, Midway is too small, and they don't have a lot of grassy area for them even to be concerned with playing animals there. But O'Hare, because they've expanded, and then they bought out cemeteries that are by the airport there, and that's what they need the animals there for, clear it out.
Hello, Pete.
I'm over.
Hey, Phil, what's happening?
Hey, Pete.
Hi, Nora. Sorry, I missed your call the other day.
That's okay.
My ringer was off.
And,
I don't know why my ringer was off. I was sleeping, too, so I guess that didn't help. Phil, I have a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
Because I'm pretty confused about this.
Why?
Are you having three shows a week now?
Yes.
Okay.
What's going to happen? This is how it's going to go down. Okay, for everybody, because Bill and I were going to tell everybody about this. Well, we told them about it last week, but we're going to tell everybody about it again tomorrow before we start. But what's going to happen is Sons of Anarchy TV show starts. Whoever's walking around, can you stand still and stay out of the wind because it's causing a reverb?
That might be me. All right, hold on. Let me stop my movement.
Okay.
How about now? Better?
Yeah. So what's going to happen?
Yeah.
What's going to happen is Wednesday nights, we're going to do what they call Sam Pro Radio.
Your show is going to host Sam Crow Radio.
When Bill and I are doing Sam Crow Radio.
But it would be like this number if I wanted to call in. Or...
Correct. It's just going to be Wednesdays.
It's the Bikers of America show, but you're hosting a special show on Wednesdays, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
You know, because I got invited. I'm definitely going to be there every Wednesday, but I was a bit confused, you know, because I wasn't sure if it was somebody else hosting their own radio show.
It's our. We're doing the show. Basically, with Blessings, doing the show.
Now that's going to be every Wednesday.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then what happened was there was some issues with the person that was doing it before. I don't know. I didn't ask. Bill and I were just excited that they came to us and asked us to take over.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
That's like an honor.
Yeah. So I don't know if most people saw today that Rusty put out that info that he's going to be on every episode except episode 4 and 5 for season 6.
Well,
the exact words were, "Let the mayhem begin."
So, I mean, what about, is it going to be, well, my time is 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
What time do you go on there? 6 still? Same time?
We're going to go on at 6. So the first show, the premiere show is an hour and a half, maybe a little more.
And that's tomorrow night, right?
No, on the 10th of September.
Oh,
the
okay.
Radio show. The Sam Pro Radio Show will be on Wednesdays at 6, maybe for an hour, maybe for an hour and a half. Depends on how
tomorrow?
It goes. We're starting tomorrow, but we're interviewing people that were on the show.
Yeah. I seen that guy there, that Tommy Gunn guy, is going to be on.
Yeah. And then next week is going to be Pete Alva.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And then the third one is... I know who we're talking to, and I know I got people checking their schedules right now. So between what the people that were doing the show before and us, got a nice mixture of we can get to everybody.
Yeah, that's gonna be you're gonna have a lot of listeners, a lot of people calling in.
Yeah. And basically, what we're going to do is, like Bill said last week, we're going to just let you guys talk. We're going to throw it out there, and we're going to let you guys talk. And we're going to, you know, somebody might call. Like, there was a lot of things that happened, you know. When Opie got killed, everybody, you know, they went nuts.
Yeah, then they have the... They have a Facebook page, too, and I joined it. Oh, they accepted my... Sorry, that's my Rottweiler. Let you in on a Gatorade bottle. Stop that. I joined
mm-hmm.
the Sam Crow Facebook page. They accepted my request, and I got like 5,000 friends on there. Now, it's none of my business, but I won't even ask who's running it, but it just... I didn't even know they had that page until I saw it
yep.
on your page.
Yeah.
And I sent him a friend request. I said, well, worst they're going to do is reject me, you know? But they did.
No,
they added me right away.
Yeah, nobody's getting rejected because everybody's following the show.
It's like 5,000 people on that page.
Yeah.
Almost.
Already.
Damn.
And it's growing. It's growing by the day. We started this conversation last Wednesday. And just today... Today on my blog, I looked, and 8,000 people looked at that posting on the blog about that.
Wow. That's cool. That's a change.
Yeah.
You're going to have the most popular show on the blog talk, I'll tell you that much.
We're trying.
Some wackos calling in, too. you'll be hitting the mute button a lot. You know, they get the whack jobs.
No, well, you know, but everybody has their chance to say whatever's going on.
Yeah, I'm gonna call in.
You know, Tommy will be here tomorrow night. Probably he'll slide in here right around 6:10, 6:15. I talked to him Sunday, and one of his friends the day before had gotten a bad accident, and the message I got yesterday was that he ended up hitting the guardrail, so he's shifted some vertebrae, broke the clavicle, and some other stuff.
Oh, that sucks. That hurts. You think you'll end up bringing back on Andy McPhee?
Yeah, he seems like
a decent guy. He's a good actor.
Andy will be here.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
As a matter of fact, you're already giving away who I called.
I just mentioned him because I remember calling and talking to the guy. He was very nice to me, and his son is very famous too. He's just a little kid, you know, but his son does a lot of movies. And I was wondering, I said, whatever happened? Because I remember him when he was on the show, and I was lucky enough to speak with him, and he was very nice to me, very polite.
Yeah.
You know.
He's a good guy.
Actor.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I don't know if you guys remember the story when I introduced him to Bill, and Bill told him, you know, you're a Catholic and a Protestant in a Protestant part of town, and you're at a biker club and this and that, and you know, Bill's last words were, "Well, they threw you off the fucking, they threw you off the fucking roof," and kind of just looked at Bill and said, "Bill, do you know what I did before I was an actor?" And Bill said, "No," and he said, "I wrestled."
Yeah.
In other words, he was telling Bill, he was giving the shit back to Bill that he was giving it. Bill was giving it.
He's Australian, isn't he?
Yeah.
From Australia, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's going to be quite the show.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're still trying to learn out some of the kinks and how to, you know, when we get to the people.
I mean, people are fanatics about Sons of Anarchy. They just, I like the show. You know, I wouldn't say I love it. I like the show, but you get some people out there that they think they're in the show. You know, once they find this out and on Blog Talk Radio, you're gonna have like switchboards gonna be lighting up over there. You know, like crazy, man. I mean, that's like awesome. You know, because you know most of the shit on Blog Talk Radio is boring. I go on different sites and they might have, you know, how to eat better, how to exercise. But, you know, hey, Sons of Anarchy show, you know, with celebrities on, shit. Everybody's going to listen to that. Anybody that's anybody will tune into that show.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
I'm trying to locate something right now that I can show you guys or play for you. But I had got sent a bunch of links and stuff for to talk to interviews that were done by Charlie and a few others. I played them last week, and they've been dicking with me for a little bit here, so I'm trying to locate that. Anyway, yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to be doing that from tomorrow on. But we're going to do it to where we can get all the kinks out of the show before we actually get to the season start.
Yeah. So what'd you say, it's going to be about an hour and a half long, the show?
Yeah. Like, right now I got, this is, I'll play this for you right now. This is an interview with Charlie, he's on the Tonight Show. I got a couple of them. I'll play them. Just to give you an idea how things are going to work. Okay?
Okay, cool.
When did you come here? I was 18. I did a TV show in England. People saw it, and I got invited to come out here.
And you ever been here before?
Never been to America. Okay. Just came.
Land in L.A., what happened?
I mean, it was a little scary, you know. I 18, just turned 18, came, didn't know anybody or anything, really, and landed and, you know, had never really experienced sunshine before, being from England.
Right.
The sun doesn't shine too much in my part of the world.
Yeah.
So I got here, and I remember I was so excited to get to L.A. and thought, I want to go to the beach. And I landed at about 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning,
right.
Checked into the hotel, came down, and got hailed a taxi and said, you know, take me to the beach.
From where?
I was in the middle of Hollywood. And he said, what beach do you want to go to? I said, I don't know, the sandy one. Take me to the beach. I don't know which beach. And I thought it was going to be 5 minutes down the road. An hour later, we get there, $100 taxi ride. And by the way, I came here with about $200 in my pocket. So that was half of my life savings was gone. And so I got to the beach and I thought, that's half of my money gone. I should really enjoy this day.
Right,
so I spent all day walking up and down the beach with no sunscreen on.
Right.
I got home. I started to feel a little unwell at around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Got a bus back to my hotel room and went to sleep and woke up that night and my whole face had blistered up all the way across here. It was one big blister. I looked like the Elephant Man. So I threw some water on my face to try to cool myself down, and then the blister exploded, and all of the skin came off of my face, and it looked like raw hamburger meat. And this was Sunday night, and I had 5 auditions to do on Monday,
right.
So my career in Hollywood is off to a raring start,
yeah.
You know?
Well, it seems to have worked out okay.
I have another one. This one says why Charlie doesn't like weekend motorcyclists. You'll like this one. I heard it the other day.
And everything, and I just, you know, he had such an aura about him, this guy. And so I just basically borrowed the...
But he's wearing white sneakers. I didn't wear white sneakers. But then you started to have people
criticize me
who wear, like, the leather and the black boots.
Yeah, and
saying,
they come up to me and say, hey, bro, why are you wearing white sneakers, man? Motorcycle, you know, bikers wear biker boots. You wear biker boots because you're a dentist.
During the week. You're riding on the weekend, and suddenly, yeah. You're...
And so, you know, you ride a bike every day. You ride in tennis shoes. I mean, sometimes if I'm just going down to the post office or something, I'll ride my bike in flip-flops, you know, whatever's clever.
Why not? Yeah. Paint your toenails and just go for it.
Sure. I guess, you know.
Hey, this one. I got it. Katie's
the yeah.
And, She gets she autographs us something very strange that she was really shocked that people asked. You guys just...
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Anna.
Hello? Hey, Yuna. Hey.
How are you feeling?
Better. Better. Went to the surgeon today, and they definitely have to do surgery.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't get a hold of you.
Pardon?
Phil, were you going to play that clip from Katie Seagal?
Yeah, but Eunice started talking, so let's talk to Eunice, and then I'll play that after.
Okay.
How you doing, Eunice? Everything okay?
Well, yeah, we finally come to the conclusion that, you know, I do have to have the open heart. The good thing is all my arteries, there's nothing wrong with them at all. And the surgeon said today, a woman that smoked for 50 years, I don't believe this. He says you don't have one carotid artery. But the valve does have to be replaced because it's deteriorating very fast. And that's what's making me pass out. So he cannot do the surgery in for 4 weeks. That's how busy he is, you know. So we're going to schedule it for the middle of September. And he says I'll be like probably 2 to 3 days in ICU and then 4 to 5 days in the hospital after that. And he says then I'll be able to come home. But the recovery time is about 3 months, he said. So
wow.
That's where it's at, and, you know, that's the final, no more worrying what the hell it is or what they're going to do, so.
How's your arm?
My arm is a lot better. Did you see that, Phil? Did you get
no.
a chance to see the
No, picture? You know, actually, I need a twin. I got so much shit going on right now, and then booking the people to talk on the show tomorrow night.
Right.
It's a special show. I need a twin. I tried to talk Bill into helping me out, but he thinks the computer's the devil.
Yeah. Well, the arm is much better, but they did go into another artery, and I don't know if I told you, but just before I had the heart catheterization last week, I said to the nurse, who happened to be a male, what's the worst case scenario? And he says the worst case, 1 out of 1,500, they punch another artery, you know, and that's exactly what happened to me. I sent Nora pictures of the arm. I think she wanted to throw up, right? Nora?
It was disgusting.
Yeah, so.
I posted it on her wall so that
yeah.
we could see.
It was very, very painful, and I ended back up into the hospital again because they thought I shot blood clots. But it did happen, you know. I was the 1,500 person that you know, it happened to. But the ironic thing is the heart doctor said to my husband, you know, you should play the Powerball, you know. And Paul says, yeah, sure, okay. Guess what, Phil? There was a guy named Paul White that won the friggin' money, but it wasn't us. So that's how our luck goes, you know? His name was Paul White. But Other than that, I feel better that I know exactly which way I'm going now. So, you know, and I did get your invitation. And you can set it up, you know, within the next, you know, few weeks, you know, if you want me on. But, you know, I'm not going to stay on tonight. I just got wiped out going into Boston today. And like I said, I feel much better. And all right, we'll talk to you tomorrow sometime.
Okay.
But I won't hold up the show. And thanks for listening. And
all right. You take care.
Good to have you, friend, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Phil,
yeah,
I gotta I'm gonna listen to this on the internet because I gotta call my mother I gotta check on my mother before she goes to bed. So I will be on tomorrow night. You know,
okay.
I'll call in.
All right,
but
we'll
I'm
talk
gonna
to
listen to the show on the computer. Thanks for having me on, Nora. Give me a call when
take
you
care.
Can. I'll make sure my ring is on this time.
Okay.
And I look forward to tomorrow night's show. And, yeah, so what else can I say? It's going to be great. So I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
Take care. Hello, friend.
I was going to say, before that guy leaves,
yeah.
One of the things that they're going to get him on that plate is that it wasn't reflective coloring paint. If he can show that that paint was also reflective, that
you're
might
talking
help.
About the guy last week?
I'm have two different things going on. I was listening to you on my computer.
Uh-huh.
And that was the guy that just hung up with the plate. Okay, never mind.
No, the guy that hung up with the plate, he's in L.A. That guy's the guy that was just talking is in Boston.
Ah,
the guy in
okay,
L.A.,
never
the
mind.
Guy in L.A., he's basically, they got him cooked on the plate.
Okay,
unless,
because also with that plate,
unless the
judge
buys his argument, DMV is selling those plates that way.
It would have to have been be reflective paint.
I know that, but it's not. It's just regular custom paint.
Yeah, that's why I took a picture of it.
Yeah.
Well, how is everybody this fine evening?
That's
well,
good,
almost
but let me,
everybody.
Before we get into that with everybody, let me play this. This is Katie Sagal, who plays the mother on the Sons of Anarchy. She was telling Conan about, well, Conan asked her, he said, you signed some pretty strange things, so I'm going to let her tell you guys what it was.
First of all, congratulations, Sons of Anarchy. People absolutely love this show. You've done such a... good for you. It's such a great show. And you know what's so funny is that it's a show that people probably had one idea about you, and you had sort of one certain fan base. Now you do Sons of Anarchy, and it has changed everything.
It definitely has. It has widened my base.
Yeah. Well, you now are a pinup girl for Motorcycle Club.
I am. I'm on the cover, yes.
Well, yeah, well, listen to this. You're on the cover. I've dreamed of this, of being on the cover of Quick
Hold
Throttle.
Incredibly
sexy.
Which I just want to tell you, I have that cover and I have it autographed by her. Yeah.
And I also Quick Throttle. It's just fantastic.
It is pretty fantastic. Yes.
And you know you're on the bike backwards, right?
I am.
Okay.
I know that. I've learned a few things.
All right.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm just curious. Like, biker guys and biker men and women must be coming up to you all the time now.
Oh, well, or people that are fond of that culture or are interested in that culture.
I see.
I mean, we did a bike rally. Now I go to a lot of bike rallies and meet my new fan base, and we've had some interesting interactions. One time I went to the biker rally with Charlie Hunnam, who plays my son.
Your son. Mm-hmm.
And a guy came up and he had me sign my name on one leg, and Charlie signed his name on the other guy's leg. And then we took a little break, came back half hour later, and the guy had tattooed my name down his leg and Charlie's name. Now, I don't know if that's indicative of a biker culture, but it was an interesting fan.
I'm curious about the half hour. Like,
I know what happened then.
Who goes and gets a tattoo like fast?
I do. I don't know. Half
an hour.
There's a place that sells churros and tattoos.
And it looks like a prison tat. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen one of those.
Yeah,
but
yes.
It was a rough tat.
I've only seen a prison tat. was that the oddest autograph request that you've had?
Well, I've had a few. No, I think the oddest one was I was at the DMV with my 18-year-old. She was 16 at the time, getting her driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy comes up to me and he says, "Oh, would you sign my parole card?" I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I just got out. We watch you all the time." I said, "Well, what did you do? You know, like just a,
Did you ask?
I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Robbery. I was in for 5 years." I said, "Well, don't, you know, be careful now. Don't do anything else." He goes, "No, I'm reformed."
"Be careful" sounds like don't get caught.
Well, no,
"Be careful next time."
It does, actually.
"I've already witnessed his murder now." That's I would think intense. And also to know that in prison they're watching the show all the time.
Well, you know, they also watched Married with Children. Peg was a big.
I can imagine.
I mean, my fan mail was, I'd say, 75% from prison. So I'm used to that. I don't know what that says.
I'm only at 65%.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I get sent those all the time. Whatever they do, it gets sent to me, and I have permission to do it, so we'll go from there. But so, Fran, what else is going on?
Sorry, I had to.
Fran?
I'm sorry, I had to unmute you.
Oh.
I mute you so that I don't interfere the show.
Oh, okay.
It's only fair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was pleased to hear the letter that Bill read, and I agree 100%. If you don't have time to see me while I'm alive, don't bother come seeing me when I'm dead.
That's correct.
And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, it's kind of a shame. I remember, and this goes back 20 years ago, I was in the hospital room with my aunt, and her husband was dying in the bed. And his brother came to go visit him. And after his brother leaves, my aunt says, "I can't believe it. He comes to visit him when he can't even talk to him. He couldn't come across the river and visit when they could have had a cup of coffee together." And, you know, that kind of thing just kind of stays with you. And it's true. If you don't have time for me when I'm alive, then you know what? Screw you all. I don't need time to deal with you now.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you what I have done. Since John has died, there are things that I know that are written in our family trust that things are supposed to go to this person and that person.
Right.
Since I still ride a motorcycle 90% of the time, and you know what the odds are, they're pretty good. I've managed to avoid a couple this week. But what I've done is I've actually sent out those things early. Things that I thought were important.
Uh-huh.
There was a knife that a friend of ours, Eddie, who was in Vietnam, and he had Agent Orange. He couldn't claim he had Agent Orange, or the VA wouldn't pay for his medical. But Eddie had given John and I his knife from Vietnam. It had a few nicks in it, special nicks, and
mm-hmm.
that was a very hard one to place, because one. It has to be a gift to someone that, number one, is going to know what those nicks are. Number two,
right.
Going to respect and covet the knife.
Uh-huh.
And it took me 6 months to figure out who that got sent to. And, you know, there's times when it's really great to hold on to pieces, but if they're really, really cherished, pieces,
maybe it's time to send them on.
Right.
Either that or share them, whatever. But it's things that people really do need to think about. And by God, people, if you're out there and you don't have a family trust, shame on you. That's the only thing that's going to allow you to keep your house and a couple other things. If they hadn't been for that, me and my five cats would probably not be living in this house.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, the family trust, the state of California, as greedy as it is, and they are greedy, are very, very fond of borrowing one's estate. And so what ends up happening in California is that the estate, if you don't have it in a family trust, California, on its time of disbursement among the family, takes half of what you have. So if your house is worth 100, it's actually only worth 50, because 50 of it's going to go to the state. And they do want their money up front.
Right.
That's before anything else happens. So, again, as they say, take care of paperwork and make sure that all the T's and I's and all that happiness is done. And, by the way, where did John and I learn that from? Was from one of the wanderers. It's amazing because this guy was a lawyer. Mike was a lawyer, and he had a head-on collision, and, of course, he is no longer with us. He might have been a lawyer, and guess who forgot to take care of the paperwork as far as the business and the house? She went through hell. She even had the children say, look, let her sell the house, and the judge wouldn't let her do it. She had to go get a loan of $50,000. To make the judge happy.
Wow.
So that she could actually sell off the biker stuff to pay off. They were almost ready to foreclose on the house that she couldn't sell because the judge wouldn't let her.
Wow.
So paperwork isn't done until you take care of it. So but as far as the, you know, as far as life goes and all that, hey, it is what it is. And hopefully we can all stay alive out there. What I would be interested in is these new little electrical cars. Those
are
the ones that you, it's a smart car, but you can... You rent it somehow. Now, what I find interesting about that particular little car is the wheelbase is the same size as my motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
The width of that little car is only 1.5. I'm curious as to, and it's very quiet, by the way, too quiet because you can't hear it. I'm curious to know, is the accident rate of that small vehicle, how it compares to motorcycles? Because of its size. In fact, on my bike, I actually sit taller than anybody sitting in that car.
Right.
So is it the size of the vehicle that people claim they can't see or don't want to see? Or is it, well, we know that they don't care, so that's a given. Or is it that people feel that they have a right to run motorcyclists off the road, come crouching into their lane? And by the way, when I say those things, it's primarily because that son of a gun, those son of a guns, actually saw me when they started to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
my bike is pretty difficult not to see between the flags and all of the items that are on the bike.
Right.
So I'm just curious if it is the public and their attitude towards us, or is it the vehicle itself? When I was in Florida, and now we're going back like 50 years. But
all right, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Stacy.
Yes.
When you're driving your car and you're on the road.
Yeah.
And what are you looking for when you're driving? How do you notice motorcycles?
I'm always paying attention out my mirrors, for one, and, like, for two, depending on where I'm driving at, if they're Hollies, you can hear them, and if they're Rice Rockets, you can hear them. So, sound, too, you know? I mean, you got to pay attention to your surroundings, you know?
I'm gonna cut in on that one. It's not fair to ask her. And the reason it's not fair to ask her is because the education that we received to drive a vehicle is not equivalent to what the young people have today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's just like I won't like tailgate a bike. I give them like three car lengths ahead of me. I don't stop right on their ass. I'm like two car lengths behind them. But that's just because like. I'm courteous, and I don't want nobody to get injured or anything like that, because I get hit from behind, my car is going to jump at least a car length forward. And, I mean, the person on the bike, they ain't surrounded by metal. It's just them and the bike, you know?
Right.
So, but people are not like me.
Well, no, I know that I put you on the spot, but I just wanted to know, as a driver, how you notice them.
Fran's kind of right with, like, asking me that question because, you know, I'm just a little bit more in tune than the average younger person behind the wheel that's got 50 million things going on with their phone than paying attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead, Fran.
When you're dealing with the education level... And they are not addressing the aggression that is out there. Now, John and I used to call SAV instead of SUV, and that's because we used to call them assault vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Primarily because people who were driving them didn't care who was in the other lane because they had a bigger vehicle. And they had the right of way. So they took it.
Right.
And if you were a small vehicle, you were had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also know that we lost one of the booze fighters. Well, actually, we lost two booze fighters, two brothers, this past 3 weeks.
Right.
And, I mean, we're losing motorcyclists right and left. Oh, by the way, I'm going to have to send you a photo of my new helmet.
Uh-huh.
It is removable. I have braids on the top of my hat on the bike. And it is removable, so if an officer pulls me over, I can actually remove it because that's how it's written in the law.
Right.
That they can write you a ticket if it is not removable.
Right.
Now, from my understanding, the reason that they have started that is primarily because a number of the sport bike riders, you can identify, instead of wearing colors on your back, you can identify the groups because of what's on their helmet.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, some of that gear is actually sold that way, so therefore... Can that be a legal ticket? If it is sold by the company that has a DOT sticker, by the way, be ticketed.
Uh-huh.
So
So is it California law, or is it DOT, or is it convenience to write a law because it's a way in order to pull you over and give you a ticket? So you have other things going on there. Again, when you have that, I wish someone could tell me in HBO or whatever I have here with AT&T, I have never seen Sons of Anarchy. And I felt bad because I had a house sitter. And the only thing that she wanted to see was Sons of Anarchy, and I couldn't find it to record it for her. I have no idea where it is on my channels. I'd like to at least see one show. I am going to try and be on tomorrow night because I'd like to hear what's going on.
Well,
but
I'd like to
at least see the show.
Well, they have the DVDs. You can buy them from Netflix, or you can buy them off the Amazon. And it's kind of hard to make a copy of them.
I'm not using Netflix either.
I'm sorry?
I've not used Netflix either, so I have no idea. I see people go use Redbox across the street. So I don't know if that's there either.
Yeah, that's where you can get them. Or you can get them at, you can rent them from Blockbuster too.
God, they're still around.
Yeah. But you better have some time on your hands, because once you play the first couple, you're going to get hooked.
Honey, I don't have time. It's I'm doing...
It will draw you, Fran. It will draw you. Once you stop watching them, you'll hear the movies, the shows calling you. Very addicting.
Let's see. Passion for photography and a TV show. Is it one that
you'll get plenty of eye candy watching that TV show? There's plenty to look at. Let me tell you, you will open up your mind to a whole different world. It's a good show.
Do you trust me to open my mind to something new?
Well, you know, that's whatever makes you happy.
I'm not sure what that is yet. But as far as what's going on out there, it's not necessarily that great, because when I do see officers, then it's very far and few between. Luckily, they've been busy when I have gone past. Luckily for me, anyway. On the other hand, like I said, with all of the aggression, and I don't see the officers targeting that kind of anger out there. I'm seeing more flat tires. I'm seeing more tires in the road, which doesn't make me happy, which means that...
Well, you know, I actually stopped on the freeway.
Man, you got a set of balls, honey.
Last Friday afternoon. No. There was a 6-foot piece of chain laying across half the lane. The day before, it was laying on the white line.
Yeah.
Friday, it was laying east and west across the lane.
Wow.
So I actually, traffic was slowing down, there was a tow truck coming by, and he was pulling over for a car, so everybody kind of slowed down for the lights. So I stopped and bent down and picked it up, because everybody was going around it, and the guy in front of me hit it, and it whipped up and hit the side of his car, and it fell back down.
Ooh.
And then when I saw that, I kind of slowed down and moved over to the far left, because I thought, well, if his tire catches it and throws it, it's going to wrap around my head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. I had a fight with a person at 911.
I
they didn't come to your house and arrest you?
Nah. They said I'm too old.
Okay.
And it would be too much. It would be too much of a hassle. So there was something in the road, and the woman was really not very pleasant. And I decided that she was a good person to ride one side of her and down the other, and said, if a motorcyclist, and all I know what it was, on a curve, it was the transition ramp from one to another, you know the sandbags that they use to tent a house? It was across the road going around the bend.
Right.
So I called her, and she said, oh, that's not a problem. I says, woman, you have a motorcyclist going around a bend, trying to straighten the bike up in a bend, trying to go over a sandbag like that. That biker is going to get hurt. And I said,
right.
You better get somebody out there to take care of it. And at that point, I said, if you don't take care of it, and I find out that a motorcycle had hit it and went down and either died, I'm going to make sure they come to your house and make sure that you go to that funeral and apologize to that family and support that family for the rest of their day. And she just kind of, like, stiffened a little. Because you know what? That's disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
There's all different dangers. What is dangerous for a bike may not be dangerous for a car. I get it. But you got to make sure that that just goes on. What I also find interesting is I've gotten to a point now that when I guess my phone number registers.
Everything registers. Wait. Nora, are you still there?
Yeah.
Tell Fran about taking pictures with your cell phone.
Uh-oh.
It is, Fran.
If you take pictures with your cell phone, okay, it doesn't matter if it's you, whatever. You're taking a photo of a person. Now you can be tracked. The person can be tracked by an exact map, what your location is, if you're inside a home, if you're in a building, if you're in a park, if you're in your car. It gives exact location of where you are at.
Well, that's because it's the GPS in the phone. This is why I have always told people for several years, you go on vacation, you don't post those pictures until you get home, unless you have somebody living in your house. Because essentially what you're doing is you are advertising on Facebook and all of those places, you're not home, so here's the keys to my house, enjoy it while I'm gone.
But it's not just for that reason. It's also for reasons of children's safety with pedophiles, with anything.
When I left New York, and of course that is more than 25 years ago, when I left New York, what they were doing is there were people actually taking photos of children in parks. And
I caught a guy at the Harvard.
Week to week. Yeah.
I caught a guy at the Harvard. I caught a guy at the Oceanside Harbor taking pictures of little kids. He was on parole.
Mother.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what they were doing is they were making passports for the children. They would kidnap them and get them out of the country within an hour. They had it scheduled and planned that well. You take pictures on your phone and you upload it, then you're telling them what school the kid is going to, you're telling them what park you go to and play. You're giving them all that information. You take and you do it at a birthday party, they know that so and so is having a birthday party, they also know how old the child is.
Yeah, but then they also know your favorite place to eat. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
But most people aren't aware of it.
Oh, well, but you know something? It's not that they're not aware of it. It's they choose to ignore it because oftentimes there is the constant warning, don't do this, and they do it anyway.
I mean, I just read on one of my things where a woman left her gorgeous dog in a car, back east, and another person luckily came by, broke the window. Unfortunately, not soon enough, because the dog still died from the heat that built up in the car. And my mistake was when, about 3 years ago, in the parking lot here, there was a dog barking in the car. It was warm, but what was worse is that there was a child in the car seat. I walked to the other end of the parking lot. There was a motorcycle cop doing his paperwork. I said something to him, and do you know that motorcycle cop didn't get off his ass? He continued doing his paperwork when there was a child and a dog in a car in the heat with the window open about 2 inches.
Wow.
And that was still there when I went into the store.
I'm not even
so like, and so it's like, okay, so the paperwork was more important to this officer. And by the way, he was a motorcycle cop, had nice boots. But it didn't make any difference because he had priorities. And the child crying and the dog in the car was not one of them.
You know what I look at? Fuck that priority. And you go and sit there and save a child and an animal. What the hell is wrong with people?
Well, depends on what property you're on. Because if you're at a casino, because at the casino they have a tendency to leave grandma in the car, and they can't do anything.
Yeah, but most commercial lots at a store, they can.
If they choose. It comes down to if they choose.
That just annoys me. Sorry, but it annoys me. I'm a parent and I'm a grandma. There's no fucking way in hell.
Yeah. That's And yet this is, you know, what we've come down to. When someone allows several children to pour gasoline on a dog and set it on fire and doesn't run down those kids, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
You have got to be kidding me. Because you know something? That's not acceptable. I don't care whose kid it is. You can throw me in jail then. Throw me in jail. And you better hope to God that that kid that you just didn't do anything about doesn't hurt your child. Because that's what you're looking at. Because that's where they're heading. That's their next step. And you've got a lot of really disturbed people out there, and people are looking the other way. And part of the reason that they're looking the other way is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear that they might go to jail. Fear that they might have to go to court to defend themselves for doing something good. That's wrong. That was not the way the judicial system was supposed to be.
No.
It was supposed to look at what was right and wrong. And that is not the right and wrong. Not when people are being killed. Not when people are being allowed to get away with things. No.
Mm-hmm.
Parents oftentimes are not being responsible for their kid. I'm sorry. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people out there that they cringe if they even heard that their child was in whatever danger or in whatever part of town. And yet I respect this. You know, a lot of people put down Mexican. Well, okay, you can do that. But when I was in a class at the college, there was one young man, 6 hours. He traveled 6 hours. He leaves his house at 4 o'clock in the morning so that he can attend his classes and then 6 hours back to Mexico.
Wow.
Okay? you show me that kind of dedication in some of our students, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Mom.
When you hear from a professor that Mommy Dearest called and wanted to know why the professor gave a D to her precious kid, I'm sorry. This is college. This isn't kindergarten. This is college. You know, what point are you going to drop, you know, and let this kid hit the ground running and be on their own? Or are you just going to let so-and-so get pregnant and you're going to be stuck with grandma too, because now you're being mom and grandma at the same time while they can't take care of their own kid?
Mm-hmm.
And you hear it all the time. And there's no reason that this should be going on. None. So I guess I'm a little bit on a rant today. I do hope that people out there are paying attention to our military that have come home. The numbers are staggering as far as doing suicide.
Uh-huh.
And the people out there that are listening, people that are out there that know somebody that might be border, I sure hope that they take the time to step in and be that buddy, be that brother, that sister, whatever it is. So it's not another one that we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, and it the numbers were staggering. I mean, it was, what was the number, 8,000, I think it was this year alone, that have committed suicide. I mean, there's something wrong with our system.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. And I'll tell you what, something's wrong with our education, too.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. Now, again, I don't know what the answer is. I don't have the answers. All I'm seeing is problems. I don't have any answers. I don't know what I can tell anybody, because I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is that it's gotten to be a sad state at this point where even the nurses, the doctors, they've got their hands tied.
Yeah.
And again, nobody's stepping up to the plate saying, we're going to step in on this. We're going to take over. Something. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm reading the wrong book. You know, I'm so pleased that Pastor Z he's really stepped up to the plate on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm not one, as you know, that goes to church, because I'm not that kind.
Yeah.
I'm kind, but not that kind.
Yeah.
So,
hold on a second. We got a caller from 818.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk or did you want to just listen? 818. Hello, 818.
Yeah, just listening in.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Welcome.
Welcome, brother. Hopefully that, I don't know if I'm striking a nerve or not, but if I am, please help me out and join in the conversation. Sometimes a different point of view. And I'm not stuck on any point of view, sir. But do step up to the plate and correct me if there's something that I've said is wrong or you think something could be improved by if we do whatever it is. Because I know something. I need some help figuring out what I can do
for our brothers and sisters out there, because I'll tell you, it's not a good state right now.
No, it's getting worse by the day. I mean, I'm coming up five, and I got a cup of coffee, I got a can of Pepsi, I got a couple of ashtrays emptied.
Oh, you're wearing those stuff too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't dare take your hands off the handlebars. Man, I thought I was going to lose that bike today just because I hit a rut that was so bad. It took my tire, and it just danced.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's
getting worse by the day. I got to meet a CSP on a bike right after he was behind me, and I kind of moved over to the left a little bit. He caught the Pepsi can. But needless to say that he swung past me. I thought he was going to pull me over because I was like finger fucking. I'm reaching for my hammer, all kinds of shit. And it basically moved over and he pulled that guy over. So I understand it's almost. I understand it's almost as bad as opening a car door on the freeway.
Yeah, well, the only two things that can leave a vehicle is water and feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because the law was written for ice cubes or ice, which you have no control over. And the feathers is because they transport the chickens they transport them alive, and feathers come off as the wind hits the blades.
Uh-huh.
So there is nothing you can do about that.
Right.
So, but it's getting to be real trying. And what I find difficult is that even trying to white line, and I only white line when the traffic has stopped, because I don't trust them more than if the traffic has stopped. And even then, when you tell somebody they got a flat tire and they ask you how flat is it, I mean...
Yeah, it's only flat on the bottom.
Right, I mean, how stupid is that?
Roll the bike forward, it opens, it blows back up. Yeah, come on.
No, actually, the guy asked me, how flat is it? And it's like, okay. Driver's Ed, 101. Do you even know how to change the tire? By the way, I do not change tires anymore unless it's a really, really old, disabled man or woman. And I will not change a tire on a Geo because when I tightened the bolt, one of the bolts actually sheared off when I was tightening it.
Well, you're not supposed to stand on the tire iron.
I didn't stand on it.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I didn't stand on it. I was just tightening it, and that thing just sheared
right
off.
Just checking.
That scared me. It's a good reason not to buy that one.
Yeah, just
by the way, anybody who wants to buy a vehicle, the really best thing to do is if they have a one-week special, I don't know what it would cost you to rent certain vehicles, but even if it costs you... Let's say it costs you $500 to rent a vehicle, okay? And that $500 allowed you to drive a vehicle for one whole week. And, of course, you drive it the full week that you're going to be driving to work in traffic and all of that. And what that $500 investment does for you versus the $25,000 investment that you're stuck with is, do you really like this car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you don't, I mean, I learned that years ago when I was buying the Ford Escort. And it was not a really nice car.
And, oh, no, it wasn't the Escort. It was the Lynx, which is actually the sister to it. The Escort was a much better vehicle. But that is the cheapest way to test drive a vehicle on your terms, your time, to figure out if you actually like that sucker.
I hate to cut this short, but I got stuff I gotta get done. But I will catch you guys tomorrow night on the show.
Okay. We'll see you later.
All right. Have a good
night.
Okay.
Good night. Bye. Good night, love. But like I say, with the bikes and stuff that are out there today, the cars, I'm not sure even if the officers even know what they are out there anymore. Some of them do. Your older officers are really quite savvy. They do know what the numbers are. They do know, what they are contending with. But when you have the laws that have been changed to you can't use your cell phone for texting and this and that, and you turn on the news and you've got a kid that was just killed, a family, because they were texting, something is wrong. And what are we going to do? Whose fault is it? Is it the parents? Is it the student, the kid that's driving? Is it the car manufacturer because they didn't put a device in there that will force your phone to not work when the car is in motion? I don't know. I know that when, again, this goes back 30 years ago, John and I used to work for National Safety. And we actually had an argument with the agency because they went to bed with Motorola that was pushing cell phones. And we kept saying, this is not a good thing, this is not a good thing. Oh, yeah. And so now 20 years later, they're all of a sudden saying, oh, you really shouldn't be doing this. After you promoted, because you went to bed with this company, cell phones and driving, because it's safe.
Right.
And they've come out with that it's actually more dangerous, or actually not more dangerous, it is equal to being a drunk driver. I forget who I was talking to. I don't know if it was on the show or who I was talking to. They were in stopped traffic on the freeway and got hit, rear-ended by someone that was on a cell phone. Seriously injured. Something's wrong.
Well, that happened to little Ricky. He got hit on 76 at the stoplight. Going to Bill's.
This was on the freeway. This was on the freeway that this one happened. Now, there is something else, and Bill would have to kind of maybe do a little research and what have you. But you know that the gas has been, they are allowed to now make it 15% ethanol, which does not do really well for motors, including motorcycles. So people out there that are feeling the bike hesitating and coughing and all of that good stuff, it may very well be the gasoline in which you are using. Now, the new cars, it totally destroys the emission system and what have you. And when this stuff destroys that, the car company is going to say, don't look at us because we didn't say to use that kind of gas. So the warranty will not work on cars that are using the gas that is being used in California. I've actually had to go to using an additive to remove the water from the gas while driving. Isn't that interesting? That you have to actually spend a certain amount more to add to the gas so that you can drive your vehicle that you're paying to drive. So this is another, you know, I gotcha in California. I don't know what they're doing in other states as far as gas goes, but this is not doing well for the cars in general and motorcycles because they are not geared for that type of gasoline. It almost reminds me from the day that we used to go from leaded gas to unleaded gas. And if you had a true old car, when we would put in the unleaded gas, we actually carried a can that we would add to the gasoline so that we could drive because the car wouldn't run with that gas in it.
Right.
Too young. You're too young for that, but that was back in my day.
No, I'm not that much younger than you there, sweetie.
Oh, well, that makes me feel a little better. But that's kind of where I'm looking at a lot of different things. And I was really pleased with the letter that Bill read, or the article Bill read.
Right.
Because life is short. And people have got to start doing something. I don't care what it is. I guess the first question I really would have to throw as a challenge out to the people who are listening. Are you happy? And if the answer is maybe or no or whatever the answer is, then you've got to change. Go back to school. Try a painting class. Try writing. Try whatever it is. Because maybe with the age that you are at this point, you need to find a new battery.
Mm-hmm.
Get charged. New friends. Start a battle. Those are always fun. I mean, that's something that we all should do. Did you see the family that's looking for a lawyer? It was on the Turco thing where this is a military guy. He had an American flag and his Marine flag flying, and they were the home association was saying, you can't fly that. They don't have a lawyer. They don't have the money to hire a lawyer to actually fight that.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine somebody telling me that I can't fly my American flag or I can't have those flags on my bike? Talk about a war.
Yeah.
That would be a war that, you know what? I hate to say it, but I don't have a gun and there's a good reason why I don't. Because I'd go out there and I'd use it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but it's got to be better than what the people are coming up with or doing today. But start finding out what makes you happy, honey. I know that we're getting close to the magic hour. Hopefully the young man that was on the phone there, he'll chime in a little bit at least.
No,
he
Yeah, he went to take care of his mom, and the other guy said he just wanted to listen. If they just want to listen, I don't push him. I let him listen.
Oh, he can listen, but he sounded like a really young, nice puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like puppies.
Do. Hold on. 818, do you still want to just listen, or would you like Fran to answer any questions?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, it's Joe Espinoza. How are you?
Hey, Joe, what's happening? Oh,
You know, Phil, it's interesting. I was listening in online, and my laptop started to lose signal, so that's why I called in. I enjoy your show thoroughly. Every week there's topics that are just hit buttons, and, you know, and I want to thank the lovely young lady for the various topics that she hit. I'm absolutely amazed that we're getting away from the fiber of America. And Phil, you know a little bit about me. I'm a veteran of the United States Army. I'm an MBA graduate, and I, you know, participate in a family business run by, you know, a Mexican descendant. So, you know, I touch just about every gamut of sensitive subject that you've talked about tonight. And the only thing I got to say is, at the end of the day, thank God we still live in America where we could actually voice our opinion and do something about it.
Because, you know, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah, absolutely. So the only thing I got to say about, you know, I really can't add much. There was so many subjects that were touched and a lot of valuable information. What I want to say is thank you for hosting a show such like this. So we can be educated as Americans of some of the injustices that are out there and the various topics that you touch on Facebook. I'm amazed still at some of the things. And but more importantly is for the folks that are still listening, you know, you need to stand up for something. You know,
if you don't stand up now, you're going to bend over.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to do something. Well, guess what? That somebody might be you.
Exactly.
So do something about it. Do something about it. Get some testicular fortitude or put some fiber in your spine, whichever you want to choose, and be that somebody. I've taken a few stands in my life, and you know, I may go against the grain. I may not go with the populace, but at the end of the day, I'll take honor over glory any single day of the week, and I'll fight for my own personal rights and the rights of the people around me. And again, I just again want to thank you for the show and thank you for the information that's been given out. And I hope you continue to run this show because every week I'm just more and more engaged and more impressed with everything that's going on.
We added a show since the. I don't know if you saw my stuff, Joe, but I mean I was approached to take over the Sam Crow Radio, me and Bill, and
I saw that.
We're going to be interviewing cast members, and this week it's going to be Tommy Gunn, and next week's going to be Ted Alva, and then there's a few others, and we're working up to as the show we get closer to the show, and then Tuesday night is going to be the show, so Wednesdays is going to be like. We call in to get feedback.
Yeah, it's all my
and
calendar.
Everybody's going to have their chance to talk, and we'll have a guest on from the show that may be able to answer some of the questions, but maybe not all the questions, or touch on all the questions, but not, you know what I mean, without giving anything away. But, you know, I don't know if you ever heard this, and I can go over a little bit, but I want you to hear this because this was made in 2005. But this guy says it right, and I'll tell you, I'll talk to you about it after. But humor me and listen to this.
The Hall of Success. Here we are.
Hang on. I hate that. Every time I live up here, they screw me. They were screwing with the show earlier.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. It's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collective. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Can't say it any better than that. That was made in 2005.
Wow.
What he talked about then is going on right now today.
Mm-hmm.
But, I've been posting... I've been posting, if you want to plug the shop, but I've been posting, and you're getting anywhere from 200 to 300 hits a day. Whenever I put one, I usually post it every week, once or twice a week. But everybody's, I got email, and I got to post from Rusty, and we're going to try and get him on the show before the show starts, because he's on every episode except 4 and 5 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's gonna be going good. I'd say doing this Sam Crow Radio is probably gonna put us over the top. Because tomorrow morning, you usually get anywhere from 15 to 25,000 hits listening to the show worldwide. For the people that can't do it, and just so you know, it's archived. You can listen to it for free. You don't have to pay to listen to it. It's on, you can get it on YouTube, you can get it on Blog Talk Radio, you can get it off my blog, wherever you type in Bikers of America, you'll get it there too. But I appreciate you stopping in, Joe, and don't be a stranger.
Not at all. Thanks, Phil.
Okay. We got the 90-second thing, and I'm going to take us out with a little, let's see. I'd say a little Bon Jovi. We want it better.
Good night, Phil. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
There. Hopefully I didn't embarrass anybody. And
no.
If I did, guess what? Life sucks. And that point... So you get to start over tomorrow morning.
There you go.
Love to y'all. Bye.
Good night, everybody. Yeah, these guys just want to play games now. Sometimes, Joe, they stop in here and bust our balls. Oh, no, I got the squad cars parked out in front. They're fucking with us. I'm gonna do this other one. I don't know if you ever heard the opening of my show before, Joe, but this is it right here. This one's called Rolling Stone.
Sure have. Do it.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night.
Yeah.
A 50 motherfucker and I love to
come on.
Fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on rims.
Yeah.
No love for the other side, no need to be friends.
Hit the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing.
Got an out cheer, just so don't you need to ask for the ticket.
Hey.
After ticket, man, I ain't gonna pay.
Yeah.
Another dude 30 days locked up in CJ.
Yeah.
Twist the throttle, let's hit the road in.
Oh.
My drag lights on my bike, get the
hey.
Blow in.
A third motherfucking street calling
hey.
Me.
Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat.
Come
don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers
hey.
That live in my hood. I'm a 10-year roll into the mold. Put 10 in the clip and
blah.
1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie. I'ma always
yeah.
hit a bar. My whole voice my rubber, but we never ever fall.
Come
at the
on.
End of the day, we can always stand tall.
Yeah.
The gov don't like me, oh fucking well.
Yeah.
I guess you can call me the angel from hell.
Yeah. Hey.
All right, Joe. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care, pal.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.